Jobs, the Fed, and Congress. Oh, my.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. In a moment, we'll get the latest on the nation's job picture and find out what the Fed's up to. But first, where's Wall Street? The Dow is up right now, just about 4.5 points. The Nasdaq down just about 2 points at 2,531. S&P 500 down, up rather, just a fraction of a percent. Now to the job picture. The payroll company ADP said this morning that private businesses added 43,000 jobs in October after slashing 2,000 in September. Let's turn to Richard DeKayser. He's an economist with the Parthenon Group. Joins us live from Boston. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, Richard, what's your reaction to the private sector jobs number we got today?
Well, this is mostly good news. As you said, the same indicator showed a 2,000 loss in September, so 43,000, certainly an improvement on that. It's also double what most forecasters were predicting and double what we averaged during the doldrums of this past summer. So there's the good news. The bad news, however, is that it still falls well short of what we need to drive the unemployment rate down from its very, very lofty levels. We need to see 150,000 or so. So in that respect, it's still coming up short. Directionally, going in the right way, but by magnitude, still coming up short.
Not as good as we'd like. Richard, secondly, we're due to hear from the Fed later today. Policymakers are expected to announce some new stimulus efforts to boost lending and spending. What are you expecting from the Fed, and how much of an impact can the central bank have when it comes to dragging us out of this economic slump?
Sure. What I expect is that they're going to give us an announcement which will indicate that they're preparing to buy securities. These are probably going to be treasury notes from the public starting very soon, and they're not going to be very specific with respect to the quantity, that is how much of this they're going to do. They're going to tell us it's going to be conditional on economic outcomes. If inflation is too low, they'll continue. If unemployment is too high, they'll continue. So we don't know the total amount, but we're going to hear a signaling of the start of something which could be quite persistent. Now, what does it do? It's really intended to lower interest rates and put cash in the banking system, ultimately leading to more lending and more economic growth. So this is unconventional policy. Usually the Fed just manipulates short-term interest rates directly. It can't do that anymore because they're already at rock-bottom levels. So it's using these unconventional tools to try and stimulate the economy. They will probably be somewhat effective, but again, we're at this point now where some might say they're pushing on a string,
right?
And the effect is likely to be limited.
Okay, Richard DeKayser, economist with the Parthenon Group. Thanks so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Now to the elections. Results are still coming in, but we do know that Republicans will control the House and Democrats will continue to control the Senate. We're joined now by Congressman Joe Barton of Texas. He's a Republican who's in line to be the next chair of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Congressman Barton, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, on the issue of the Bush tax cuts, they're set to expire at the end of the year. Democrats had been talking about raising taxes on the highest income earners. Republicans want to keep the tax cuts for everyone. Now that your party is in the driver's seat in the House, do you think there's likely to be any compromise on this issue?
I think we're going to maintain the tax cuts. The question is whether Pelosi, Reid, and President Obama do it now, in other words, in the lame duck in the next couple of weeks, or whether we have to do it in January when we are sworn in to be the new majority in the House. But I think it will be done. What's been talked about is make the tax cuts for people under $250,000 permanent, and for those over $250,000, a 2-year extension. I think we ought to make them all permanent, and let's just do it, and then look at cutting spending next year and bringing the budget back under control.
You are set to take the reins as the chair of the Energy and Commerce Committee. What is your top priority on that committee?
Well, the first priority, and I spoke briefly with Leader Boehner, soon to be Speaker Boehner, and his chief of staff last night about this, it would be to move a repeal Obamacare bill through the committee and onto the floor. At the start of each Congress, the Speaker will have the first 10 to 15 bills with bill number one, bill number two, bill number three, I will advocate that Bill number one be repeal of Obamacare.
And do you think that that's realistic to repeal the health care law if you're going to have to get Democrats in the Senate and the president to go along with that?
The key on whether you can get it totally repealed is how many Democrats we can get to vote with us. And I think an open, transparent process that is fair, that the American people are a part of in terms of participation in the hearings and watching them on the internet and on television, then it's a doable deal. But you can't do it with just Republican votes, obviously.
What about climate change legislation? That would fall within your committee. Are we likely to see anything on that front, do you think, in the next 2 years?
Well, you're not going to see a cap and trade bill. That bill is not only an endangered species, it's extinct. I mean, it's gone. That debate was settled last night.
All right. Congressman Joe Barton of Texas, a Republican and soon to be chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at massmutual.com. By Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. And by PBS, taking you deep inside the world of the Big Top, Circus, starting tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS.
Finally this morning, San Francisco's Board of Supervisors has passed a law that bans restaurants from giving away toys with kids' meals that are deemed unhealthy. The law says if you want to give away a toy, the meal it comes with can't have more than 600 calories, and it must contain fruits and vegetables. I guess the kids in San Francisco will just have to play with their food. You can play with our podcast, listen to it anyway, at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Inner Mongolia is making so much money selling coal to China that they're building whole new cities. Problem is, nobody lives in them yet.
The nearest supermarket is half an hour away. Will people start to move here? There are still a lot of empty properties.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Mongolia's growing pains, and all the day's business news, the numbers from Wall Street as well. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.